Hello and welcome to That Which Cannot Be Destroyed. Today we are talking about fasting and reading the scriptures. Hope you enjoy. Thank you for listening. Hello there once again. Welcome back to That Which Cannot Be Destroyed. Today we are talking about fasting and reading scriptures. And we're probably going to just focus on the Bible today. There's other things that we looked into for this episode, but we'll do a part two or something. But here it is. And I'm joined today by the lovely Kathleen.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
So how have you been today?
I've been really good.
And since we did a last episode, it was long, long, long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been fasting lately?
I feel like I've been fasting today because my stomach has been growling at me very viciously. But I know I have not been fasting anytime.
Yeah.
Like, not recently anyways.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I guess technically, because we haven't had anything to eat today, technically, we've been fasting, right?
That's true. I did have a bite of a banana a few minutes ago.
Oh, okay. It's been a lot of hours for me since I've had something to eat. I had some coffee, which it never feels like I'm fasting when I'm drinking coffee, right? But we have people nowadays, fasting has become a very popular thing in the health and wellness, the fitness community. People are doing what they call intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So they fast for a certain period of time. Usually it's 12 hours. Sometimes it's 16. And sometimes people even do 20-hour fasts, which I was doing that for a while. And it really is effective for losing fat and for losing weight. But there are also people who for thousands of years have been fasting, and they fast for spiritual or religious reasons, maybe for communal reasons. They go to they fast on certain days of the year,
mm-hmm.
right? We have Lent, we have
Ramadan
for the Muslims, we have Yom Kippur for the Jews, and so like the Abrahamic religions have been kind of teaching us how to fast for a long time. And today we're going over some of the Bible scriptures where they mention fasting. Now I wanted to take it all the way back in time to Leviticus, which I think is maybe the first mention of fasting in the Torah, or also known to Christians as the Old Testament. But the Torah, as far as I can, I don't have a copy of a Torah in this household, but I know that the Torah has the first five books of Moses. I think they're relatively the same, probably a little, maybe slightly different translations. I looked at the King James Version of the Old Testament, Leviticus, and then I looked at the Torah one online since I didn't have a copy of it, and they're relatively the same, just a couple of words changed here and there. But we're looking at Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26 through 32. And what that says is this. I was going to write it out on the notes here, handwritten. And I said, why am I doing that? I could just read it straight out of the Bible.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do. Out of the book itself.
Yeah, right from the source. The Holy Scriptures of our Lord. So we have Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26 through 32, and it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. And ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement. to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whosoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul shall I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even. Ye shall celebrate your Sabbath. So this, you know, reading this, it's very harsh, right?
Yeah.
If you read the New Testament, it's very, I don't know, the New Testament feels better to read. Mm-hmm. It feels more loving, you know. It feels like the God of Jesus seems like a loving God and a very merciful God. And, you know, you can see that in the Old Testament too, but there's a lot of harshness. Like, you'll see in the comparing these other New Testament quotes that I have written out here from Matthew. I got one from Matthew, one from John, one from Luke, and then one from Galatians here. And you'll see that they're kind of, they're a little nicer, a little kinder. I don't know.
Yeah, that felt really rough or harsh in a way.
Yeah, God's talking about, if you violate this, whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people.
Wow.
So times were rough back then. And maybe they had to be to keep everybody together, you know, to keep everybody in the tribe together. What do you think about that?
I don't know. It sounds very brutal. And it also kind of is like fear-based in a way, to kind of make people fear something and therefore fast.
Right. And they probably had limited food.
Yeah.
So they probably had to fast. They had to ration the food out because there probably wasn't enough to feed everybody.
Yeah.
You still had to have food to make as a sacrifice as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to conserve your food and have that tenth or whatever it was, that 10% or whatever you know, how they would offer the unspotted lamb, and they would offer a drink offering, and you know, farmers would have to give a first of their, you know, their first crop or the best of their crop or whatever. They'd have to give a little bit of that. So it seems like there, you know, times were a lot rougher then. And then, you know, I think this was like maybe a couple thousand years before Christ when this was written, right? So maybe by the time we get to Christ, maybe civilization's a little more developed, a little bit more food available for everybody. And then you'll see, like with Jesus, he really was a rule breaker.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of like he didn't want humans to be treated badly. And some of the religious leaders in Jesus' time used these rules, these old rules and laws, these holy laws. They used it to control people. They used it to abuse them and to take advantage of them. And I think Jesus was against that. Mm-hmm. And we see by the stories and by his actions that's how he lived. He was, you know, he was a rebel.
Yeah.
And he paid the ultimate price for it as well.
Uh-oh! He sure did. But that makes sense to me now, when you kind of put it in the perspective of the time and the food, the lack of food. Mm-hmm. And you'd kind of have to place fear amongst the people, that of the harsh consequences if you would eat something during a time you should be fasting, because that could create like a chain reaction of harsh consequences for the whole community. If somebody just walks in and just eats everything while everybody else is fasting and everything. So and I think about women and children and how you need to, if a community is struggling, you have to kind of break down the food in that regard too, mm-hmm. to make sure they're well fed. And so maybe at the time of Jesus and onward, things were probably still pretty rough, but maybe the concept of fasting could turn even more so towards the spiritual side, like a fasting for God and kind of a symbolic thing, as opposed to, you know, you will die or you will be banished.
You'll be cut off from your people. Yeah.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know enough, but that's what we're exploring.
Yeah. And we see in the fasting, you know, anybody that's ever fasted, you can see kind of the health benefits that your body will produce from fasting, right? You,
mm-hmm.
Your body will start to live off of fat, right? It'll start to, you can even starve out certain diseases by giving your body a break from, you know, the eating is a lot of work. Your body goes through a lot of work digesting.
Yeah.
So when you do this, your body benefits, unless you do it for too long, right? And then you're going to maybe do damage to yourself or be, you know, starved to death or whatever. But if you do this and you add the spiritual context to it, I think that there's like this renewing of your mind, right? There's a perspective that you get. There's kind of a meditative place that it takes you. And maybe even, you know, you can connect to creativity through that. Mm-hmm. Through fasting, because you're not worried about serving your flesh,
mm-hmm.
as it says in the words, right? So we're going to go to Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 4. And this sounds more of a spiritual, like a spiritual reason for doing it, you know, rather than the fear-based, based on limited resources,
mm-hmm.
right? Or based on, you know, this God is going to punish you if you do this.
Yeah.
Now we're in Matthew 4:4, and it says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So you're making a connection with that voice of God that is from within you. God is speaking from within you, and your flesh kind of, you know, distracts you from that. You're living life, and you have worries, and you have needs, and you have hungers and desires.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you take some time to give those things up, then you can kind of hear that voice, right? What do you think?
I think that's interesting. You kind of like take all the superficial parts of life out of the equation, so you can listen to yourself for a change. Because I think maybe fasting, if somebody is kind of reaching all those benefits, what do we all do in life? We try to suppress our own voice.
Yeah.
By adding all the different layers of life to the table, like bringing all of the kind of like the hamster wheel of life, as I like to say, where you're just like packing your whole day full of different actions, whether that's eating, you know, making food, going to work, taking the kids here and there. You're just so that you can stop hearing your own voice.
Yeah.
And I think fasting kind of slows all that down, because your body is going through a big process, because you're not, you know, you're eating to kind of satisfy that hunger, to give you energy to get through the day. There's all the different layers of eating that adds to how you live your daily life. So when you've taken that out of the equation, it slows everything down.
Yeah.
And then you may at that point have the opportunity to tap into your own voice, which can lead to a spiritual awakening as well.
Yes.
I believe that can
When you
happen.
in what you've been saying right now, you've been saying your own voice. So, do you believe that your own voice is the voice of God, that voice within?
Yeah, probably
That's the
because
source, right?
can you read that verse again? The Matthew one.
Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Right?
Which
God is not this, you know, hear it, that which cannot be destroyed. We believe that the voice of God comes from within. You know, we don't, I can speak for myself, but I think you believe the same way I do,
Yes.
that God is within each and every individual. Every one of us has a connection to God, right? There is a connection. It just exists. God is just there with that connection. And you can disrupt those connections with, you know, your ego can disrupt that connection, right? Your hunger can, you know, like the needs of the flesh can disrupt the connection, but it's still there, and you're still, I don't think you're ever not on the path of life. You know, that we are living in this life, we're living in what seems to be at times a simulation or like a video game. And there's always this true north, you know, there's always this will within you. And that will always lead, and that is not the voice of your ego and your mind. That is not the voice of your hunger, you know, your stomach. It's not the voice of your desires, you know, your needs. There is a will and there is a voice that always leads to the right path, and it always leads to your happiness. You know, you always end up like, and it may be something that scares you to death to do it, but it's the right thing that you got to do. And that always leads to this growth or this improvement, right? And I think that comes from within.
And that kind of leads me to, I think some people might get really fearful if they hear somebody say the voice of God within, like we believe that we are the voice of God, or like there's different ways that somebody might interpret that, and it might be scary
Threatening in
or
a way, right?
threatening. And we're not saying I am God,
We're not
but we're
saying that
not
we are their God. Like,
right,
we're not their
worship
God.
me, I am your God. It's
What we're
not
saying
about
is that
that.
the connection is
Yes.
everyone is like this antenna of God, you know?
Exactly.
God is experiencing life. God is experiencing life through a human body,
Yes.
through us.
And that's why I've kind of admired, we've brought up Quakers before, but that's why I've admired their take on God and their courageous effort to share their belief, which was with the Puritans very difficult. Puritans didn't really accept their understanding of God, and therefore there was huge conflict, death, imprisonment, all kinds of banishing of communities and such. But they believe in this concept of inner light, and I googled this to make sure I'm doing justice to this. It's also known as the inward light, which is a big theme for the Quakers. And it means specifically that it's the direct awareness of God that allows a person to know God's will for him or her. It's everybody carries the inner light of God, and that's directly linked to your own will. What's the right thing for you? What's your truth? And that's through the concept that God is within all of us. So I don't know. That's
And
I
that
think that's interesting.
listening to that and being in touch with the inner light and the inner voice, the inward voice, it protects you from corruption from like the other people. Or their interpretation of what that is, you know when it's off. You know when they are off, and when they're basically probably what's happening is that they're speaking from the ego, from a selfish place that is not the will. It's not even their own will. It's just like a a place of fear and greed or whatever it is. And we've seen countless unlimited examples of this and the abuse of organized religion and of cults that start up and they end up killing, you know, they all end up committing suicide. And it's because they're letting this one guy or this organization dictate what that inward voice is saying.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they've given up their agency. They've given up that connection to God for some charismatic person, some con man that can get them to do things that they normally wouldn't do, that they would do against their will. So we can move on to another scripture.
Yes.
And this is from John 6:35. Then Jesus declared, quote, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So these are all kind of like fasting themed quotes from the Bible. It's kind of like metaphorical, using bread as the metaphor, because everybody's eating bread, right? It's the thing everybody has access to. And Jesus is referring to himself, right? But he's also saying, "I am," which in the Old Testament, I think Moses says, "Lord, who would you have them, you know, who would you say would send me? Like, who do I tell them sent me with this authority?" And God told Moses to tell them, "I am." And I really believe that that's referring to the same thing we've been talking about, which is God was speaking through Moses. Tell them, "I am." Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what Jesus is saying too. And it's okay if you disagree. Find a way to... I don't know how we can comment on this, how we can get people to comment on this and engage with the podcast. We're going to have to set up a...
Well, we do have an email. And also, I believe that there's a way to comment on the Anchor app, I think.
Oh, okay.
But...
They'd have to download Anchor or something.
We do have our email, which I think we'll want to try to share that again at the next, I mean, at the end of this. Or I could do it now.
Okay.
Would you like me to share it?
Yeah, go ahead and share the email. So people want to comment, you want to debate interpretations and things. I'm not really into the debating, but I'm interested in what you have to say. So
definitely. So this is a terrible email, and we apologize in advance. We've apologized before, but it's our abbreviation, TWCBD.
Yeah, TWCBD, which stands for That Which Cannot Be Destroyed.
Pod, P-O-D, all together. So TWCBDpod@gmail.com.
All right. Well, that's the that's the email. Send us a fax, an email. We should get a hotline set up where people can call in. And I think you can do that on the Anchor app. I think you can leave voice messages. So if you guys can figure out how to do that, leave us a voice message and we may feature it on our show.
Definitely. That would be great. I'd love to hear from all of you.
So should we go through some more scriptures here? Because I got two more written down that we could go over.
Yeah, I guess we could either save two for the next talk, or we could just go through what you have so far.
Yeah, maybe we should just keep this into one episode.
You know?
Unless we find something. I think I would like to maybe go into the Jewish world, because I'm a little more unfamiliar with that world of like the Talmud and things like that. I'm sure that we would be familiar through reading the Old Testament. There's a lot of the lot of those books are in the Torah, I believe. And I'm not quite familiar with the Talmud, but we might get into that later. But we'll go ahead and finish the Bible ones right now. It's a very Bible-centered show or episode, because that's where where I found most of the quotes. So the next one is Luke chapter 5, verse 33 through 35, and it says, "They said to him, 'John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours go on eating and drinking.'" So they're accusing Jesus. I guess John the Baptist had a group of disciples as well. So they're kind of comparing Jesus. They're saying, well, John's disciples fast and pray, and so do those of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast." So, I guess Jesus was referring to, he's using another metaphor about the bridegroom, and this is a time that Jesus was with them in this moment. It was a time of celebration, and he knew that he wouldn't be there forever with them. And he said, when I'm gone, that's the days when they will fast. So this is Jesus once again kind of breaking the rules a little bit, bending and breaking the rules. And every little rule that he broke, there was always somebody there to nitpick and accuse.
Doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah, it does. It's very familiar. So what do you think about that?
I keep hearing this bridegroom, so my mind just keeps going to that.
Bridegroom.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm just like pondering on that. And I'm wondering if it goes back to the, was it the previous verse that you read?
Yeah. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty,
Yeah,
never go
go
hungry or be
on.
thirsty, right? So that was Luke. We got through three of the books, three of the four of the Gospels. We're only missing Mark out of here, but since I'm here, I didn't really need to go into the book named after me, right?
Yeah, that would be a little bit narcissistic
Maybe, right?
to
So our next one comes from Galatians chapter 5:16. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So that's the theme of what we've been talking about, which is, the fasting is to allow the Spirit to move through you to so that you can hear it speak, right? And not gratify the desires of the flesh, which, the flesh, all of these things arise from the flesh, these fears and limitations and things like that. I mean, you also need to keep the flesh alive. So we need those desires to come up and speak to us and to make sure that we do fulfill those so that we can be healthy. But, there's always the spirit as well that we take into consideration. And with that, what do you think about that?
Yeah, and I think it's kind of like trying to remind us to take kind of the middle ground of life. Don't go to extremes. So, if you take life in extreme forms, you might suffer from obesity, for example. If we're talking about food, there might be somebody who just, that's how they gratify their needs, or they'll just over consume. So it's kind of taking a middle path, to where you're not going from one extreme to the other. I mean, you could also say that somebody is going to major extremes by being anorexic or having that kind of eating disorders too.
Right.
But to just remind yourself of what it feels like to have moments where we're not just overindulging in everything.
Yes.
And maybe that helps us appreciate kind of the spiritual self. Again,
Yeah.
I could be wrong with my interpretation because it's just thoughts that come to my mind with these verses, but that's
Yeah.
kind of what came to my mind.
Yeah, that reminds me of another scripture that I didn't write down for the notes today, but I think it's from Paul. And I can't remember what book this is in, that, one of Paul's writings in the New Testament. And he said that all things are permissible to me, but not all things are beneficial. And all things should be taken in moderation, which is what you're saying.
Moderation,
Take the
that's the word
middle
I
path.
was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. You brought it up, so that reminded me. That made me think of that other scripture. Well, we've come to the end here of the show. I hope that you found it valuable and that you enjoyed your time here with us. And if you can, find a way to support us, subscribe, do all those things. They cost you nothing and they mean everything to the success of this show. But we really appreciate you listening and being there and being who you are. Be kind to yourself and love yourself. Be kind to others. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of That Which Cannot Be Destroyed. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions or comments, email us at twcbdpod@gmail.com. We know it's an inconvenient email, but we'd appreciate it all the same if you would let us know how we're doing. And if you just have anything to say, express yourself. Thank you, and until next time, be kind to yourself.